I'm actually blind, so I'm just gonna put my glasses on.
Are we started?
I think we started.
How do we start?
I didn't know.
Oh no, this is so confusing.
Hello, I'm Hannah Covertman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vesthuizen.
And we are the Fuckboy Podcast.
I feel sick.
It's been so long in the making, this podcast.
I know, what the fuck? I think we started it this time last year. No, earlier maybe, right?
Yeah.
But it was not a podcast.
It was not.
It was a book. It was a fucking book. And then we were like, we know nothing about books. And then we turned it into a podcast.
So we had like things happening in the first lockdown that became ammo for our book to get written. For a bit of context, I was dating one of the many terrible blokes that I've dated in my life, and I think it came to either an end or a hiatus, more likely a hiatus, mm-hmm. Because we love to go back, the bad blokes.
That's cyclical behaviour.
That's just what we do, right? Until we learn, and then we don't do it again. We grow. Yeah. But on this particular occasion, I believe I was probably a hiatus. But I was dating a writer, he wrote a book and sent it to me that happened to be all about his ex-girlfriend, but featured me as a one-line character, highly sexualized one-line character.
I actually forgot about this.
Yeah, and I was so horrified, and we were all so horrified at the audacity for him to write it and then to send it to me. But also it got us thinking, I guess, didn't it, about all the times that fuckboys have written women in online roles, or like the fuckboys that are at the center of the narrative that make that seem okay.
Exactly.
That, don't even make it just seem okay, make it seem like the thing to do, and that somehow makes
them
like cool.
And also, they're just the head of everything. So they're the writers, actors, they're the producers, they're the directors, they're the publishers.
Yeah.
It's just a big collection of fuckboys. And no one goes,
no one's like, you sound like an absolute idiot. Like, you sound like a prick.
Where are your friends telling you you're embarrassing yourself?
Yeah.
Who gave you the green light to, A, write a novel about your ex-girlfriend? Then send it.
Very creepy.
And then send it to the woman that he's dating.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
As if you're going to go, oh, fantastic.
Thank you.
Oh, I love
it. You genius.
Yeah.
Was it good? Was it a good book?
I mean, it was just that I've heard it all before, bro. Like, this is not the first time. And also, do you know what? I find it really funny now, because as much as there was, you know, as with lots of fuckboys that we're going to talk about today.
Oh, yes, we are.
There was so much narrative of me being expected to empathise with him. And I was just like, dude, I don't care. Like, if you can't pull it together when the whole world is supporting you to be, like, everything you could possibly be, I'm not going to empathise with your character. I can't be arsed. I've read it before.
So going off the archetypes that we're going to explore today, what would this writer be?
Oh, that is such a good question.
Oh, got to be tortured artist. Yeah. Well,
he's a bit of a narcissist.
He is a narcissist, aren't they all?
I mean, this is a thing, right? I mean, we should talk about what a fuckboy is first and foremost. It can feel like we're not being very nuanced, but the fact is that a fuckboy comes in many, many different disguises.
Oh, yeah.
And often uses different tactics to get what they want. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes they'll straddle lots of different archetypes. Mm. But for the point of this, we'll be exploring our top 10 fuckboys and their archetypes.
Yeah, exactly. Because this was a book before, we actually wrote many things. But one of the things that we wrote was a definition.
Urban Dictionary. This is our urban.
Except
Urban version of it.
Why did you get the urban on that one?
I don't know, because it's such an old one. On the old Urban Dictionary.
But the Urban Dictionary one is not very good.
Maybe we should submit this on to Urban Dictionary. But to explain,
we're gonna get
fuckboy is.
I mean, I dated him. You dated him. And your prank, grand.
Northern grand.
Your Northern grand. Your grand's probably dated him in a past life.
Yeah. He is why we are all here.
He is.
He takes many forms and he can be hard to spot, but guaranteed to leave you with a broken heart, a huge sense of injustice, and often an itch that you can never fully scratch.
You should really get that tested.
So to kick off our first ever episode of this podcast.
Oh my yes. God, I can't believe we're doing it.
We are going to share with you these top 10 fuckboy archetypes.
So in our 10th position, our most harmless of the archetypes, we have a you up fuckboy. So this dude, you've not heard from him in weeks, right? Usually not heard from him in weeks. He's got no time for small talk because it is 3:18 a.m. and he has two...
So specific on that time.
Burning questions. I have gone through my texts. I do remember what it's like to be caught. It's been a year. It's been a pandemic. Obviously less you up texts than we would like to see.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But they have been at 3:18 a.m. in the past. Two burning questions. One, are you up? Two, are you down to have sex with me? And obviously, he's pretty harmless, this dude. He's just shameless and persistent, somewhat annoying. But you know what you're dealing with, right?
Yeah, and just to clarify, that you up text is not going, are you currently suffering from insomnia?
No.
It's not a concern text. That's going, are you up?
Well, speaking of which, famously, our you up guy is... Joey Tribbiani from Friends.
Yeah.
And
with his very own catchphrase.
Yeah, yeah. How are you doing? And he always asks, how you doing, not how are you doing?
Mm. Yes.
You
know?
That's so true.
Why do they always ask how you doing and not how are you doing?
They don't want to know how I'm doing.
They don't want to know how I'm doing. But I mean, to be fair, like, he is, his sexual relentlessness is
wild.
Off the charts. I mean, both, he's got like a lust for women, and a lust for sandwiches that are pretty unrivaled by any other character.
He's very carnal.
He lays it on thick with like every single female cast member that comes onto the screen. I'm pretty sure that he even like does that how you do into like people's cooking and stuff, which actually I kind of rate.
But because
you know what you're getting with him. Yeah. He's harmless.
Exactly. Yeah. And also like if you're up for the you up.
Yeah.
If that makes sense at all. Then that's great. Like, it's harmless insofar as it's very transparent what they want.
Yeah. As long as you're not getting the you up text from a different, maybe more harmful fuckboy, this guy is just... Yeah. He's good for a laugh. He's good for an anecdote. And we love a good anecdote.
And good for a shag. Yeah.
And he's also up and down to fuck. Like,
yeah. He's DTF.
At 3:18.
You know, like, you're at your weakest point at 4 a.m. in the morning. Really? Do you think that's where the fuckboys descend?
In what way?
As in, like, physically.
Really?
So that's when the most, like, house raids happen. People go in and steal your shit at 4 a.m. because it's when your body is in its weakest state.
And that's also when the you up guys text
and
you.
And it's like,
yes.
I love it. They're smart.
Why the fuck do I know that?
Okay.
We have, at number 9... the classic, fairly modern fuckboy.
Yeah, pretty Gen Z, I'd say.
Pretty Gen Z of us. Down with them kids.
Grandma, up over here.
Is this Gen Z?
Pick me.
Oh,
the
phrase
is the pick me.
Yeah, yeah. I had no idea what this meant before we started this.
I only know because
TikTok.
I have TikTok.
I know.
Because, hello, my name is Hannah van der Vesthazen and I am addicted to TikTok. I only got it a week ago. No, I actually didn't. I got it a while ago and it's the amount of hours of my life I've traded into TikTok.
No. This is why I can't do it. I can't.
Yeah, don't.
I
can't. No. Don't come to the dark side.
So Pick Me actually started, I don't know if you know this, but it's the pick me girl is a trope.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, a pick me girl is someone who's, I'm not like other girls, I'm different, I'm unique. And it starts from the scene in Grey's Anatomy. Well, I don't know their names.
Ooh.
Have you seen that scene where she's like, pick me,
I've never seen Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy is great.
But I've seen that scene. It's a
really famous Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's so brilliant in Grey's Anatomy.
I need to watch it.
That's where this trope comes from the pick me girl. And then everyone is like, hold on. Can we just talk about pick me boys?
Which are so much worse.
Which are so much worse and creepy and super, super, super problematic. They're like slight sad boys. They're like a little bit down on their luck. They're nice guys.
They've got crumbs on their chin.
They have little crumbs and little pimples. And
like nice guys finish last vibe,
they
right?
They do.
They wear Vans.
They wear Vans.
They do wear Vans. They do.
They probably wear plaid. And they learn how to
skate.
Oh,
there's nothing wrong with a bit of plaid, Catherine.
Oh, you rascal. You're a plaid. Is plaid check? Basically tartan.
Yeah, like those nice plaid shirts that like hipster.
See, I'm just imagining.
I can't imagine nice and plaid. In a man
chopping wood.
Yeah, thing. Exactly.
Which is fit. That is fit to be fair.
Okay, let me get this straight.
Think Vans, zip up hoodies from Gap.
Yeah. See, I'd see a zip up hoodie with a shirt over the top. That's what my brother used to wear.
What, a hoodie with a shirt over the top? Okay, hold on.
Have you ever seen those hoodies with like the fur on the inside and the plaid-y outside?
Oh, like from Abercrombie and Fitch, you mean?
Yeah.
For reference, I think we'll have to put that on our Instagram because I can't see it, but you can put that on the Instagram and everyone can witness the pick me uniform.
Yes,
of this
with
guy.
The band. Oh, we'll do a little collage of what a pick
of
me
what?
Wears.
Yeah, a pick me starter kit.
Pick me starter
kit. Yeah. For our pick me, you may have heard of him, Ron Weasley. Kind of famous.
I feel like this is very controversial.
Yeah.
I think all of us don't really know how we feel about this.
Yes. But I want to be clear. This is not Ron and Hermione so much. Ron and Hermione, we ship. Right? We all ship. We want them to get together.
Yeah, I mean, Ron is definitely a dick to Hermione a lot of the time.
Oh, that's a whole nother episode.
Yes, that is.
But Ron and Fleur Weasley, eventually. Fleur Delacour, initially.
Yes.
So basically, he's like in love with her at the beginning, isn't he?
Mm.
He's still trying it with her when she is months away from marrying his brother. He is still going.
He's still
trying to get a little kiss on the cheek. He's just unbelievable. Honestly, it is shocking.
I mean, wow. I'm consistently astounded by the audacity of men, but I'm particularly astounded by the audacity of Ron. Come on, boy.
To go for your brother's fiancé.
For your brother. In such a creepy way as well. Trying to get a little peck.
Oh, gosh.
Or a hug.
This is making my allergies flare up.
And so what book is that in? Is that in
That's in the sixth one. And Ginny, Half-Blood Prince, sixth book, the green one. They're all like saying goodbye. They're about to go off to Hogwarts. Fleur comes up to Harry. He says, Harry, goodbye. Let me give you a little kiss on the cheek. And so she gives him a little kiss, and then Ron is shuffling over. Ginny sticks out a foot, trips him up.
Yes, rating.
She is wonderful.
What a legend.
Kath, you should have played Ginny.
I know.
I know, you really should have.
I'd trip Ron up in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I bloody would.
And also, like, obviously Harry gets a kiss on the cheek because he saved Fleur's sister.
Which Ron also tries to take credit for. Ron literally passed out and she goes, and you helped. And he's like, well, a little bit.
Exactly with that delivery.
Just a tiny bit. There's lots of face touching happening.
That's a pretty pick-me move.
It's a pick-me move.
Terrible.
From Ron. Harmless, but slightly annoying.
Also always playing third fiddle to Harry and Hermione's greatness.
Yeah.
You know, just a little bit. Yeah. We love Ron, though.
Don't at us.
Oh, no, we
don't
do.
At us. Don't at us. So, at number eight, we're starting to get down and dirty.
Juicy
Lucy. So we've got Mr. Narcissist. Okay.
Mm.
So the Oxford Dictionary says a narcissist is a person who has an excessive interest in or admiration of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So basically with this fuckboy, the love of their life is always going to be them.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So they don't care about you.
Bottom line, they don't give a shit.
They don't give a fuck.
If a woman was like, the love of my life is me, I'd be like, yes, girl,
rate it.
So true.
Yeah. Whereas with a man, I'm like, oh.
Disgusting.
Despicable.
Eye rolls into the back of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just don't give a shit about what you think, feel like, dislike. Everything is centered around them.
Mm-hmm.
And who better to talk about than Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
I love it.
An icon. Okay, so the first sighting that we have of Gaston in Beauty and the Beast, right, when he interacts with Belle, this is out fucking rageous.
So good.
He approaches her and literally takes her book and throws it in the mud. That's the first thing he does. And this is not like a W.H. Smith paperback. This is a fucking leather-bound, gorgeous vintage book that like probably belongs in a cabinet in Oxford. And he says, oh my God, he says, it's not right for a woman to read. Soon she starts getting ideas and thinking. Belle, it's about time you got your head out of books and paid attention to more important things, like me.
Oh my God. I think you couldn't write it, but it was written.
It was written.
It's shockingly accurate.
It's terrible. But what's great is that Belle isn't having any of it.
Because she reads.
Because she reads. Other shit that he... I mean, he has that whole song dedicated to him.
Oh, yeah.
Can we have a rendition?
I'm gonna give you some bits.
Oh, yeah.
But Le Fou sees that he's down in the dumps. Oh, yeah, she says that. It is, you're down in the dumps. Le Fou is definitely in love with Gaston, don't you think? It's really sad.
Oh, we all fall subject to Mr. Narcissist, don't we?
We do.
Le Fou is also a bit of a pick-me.
Oh. Don't you think?
Props.
Okay, so in that song, he goes, as a specimen, yes, I'm intimidating. As you see, I've got biceps to spare. And then he sings, I'm especially good at expectorating. He's bragging about his spitting skills.
Expectorating. Expectorate. I'm going to use that and sound so smart in a conversation.
It's a fancy way of saying spitting.
That's gross.
Though. Why would you boast about spitting?
Bragging
like,
about
one
that.
Of the number one most disgusting things on the planet.
I remember boys when I was in high school would have like
how
spitting.
Far?
Do you think it's from that scene in Titanic where he's like, "How far can you spit?" And they're like,
"What?" That directly led to Gaston.
yes
we will find tenuous links and we will exploit them. We will find the root of fuckboyery.
I meant the Gaston. Boys at school.
Oh, the boys at school. No, I think that's just like what boys do.
I'm just gonna run you through some of his worst actions. Okay they're appalling. Okay. So he organizes his and Belle's wedding before even proposing to Belle.
That's Farquhar level bullshit.
What? That is Lord Farquhar level bullshit. Well, what the heck? Okay, he gets sidetracked by his own reflection when proposing to Belle.
That's so funny. Though, I have to admit.
To be fair.
So. No.
At least you know what you're getting. Like, he's such a bane narcissist.
This is the thing. Why Mr. Narcissus is so down on the list is because, again, it is what it says on the tin. Like, he's so obviously awful and abhorrent that there's no manipulation around it. It's just, you're a dick.
You suck.
The red flag is swift and easy to spot.
Although he does get Belle's dad locked up in asylum, which is just horrific. And then he stabs the beast in the back.
Oh, he's a backstabber.
Gaston.
Etu Gaston.
What?
Get it? Like Etu Brute from the new season? No, sorry. Too highbrow of me.
Bring it down.
Bring it way down.
Bring it back down to the gutter.
We're in the
Disney
gutter.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, God.
Fuck boys of Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah, we're doing it. We'll have to do that at some point.
Okay, so next up, we have... He's quite far down the list, because again, he's not that problematic.
Depending on your feelings towards them.
Yes, exactly.
Because it's more of an action than even a person, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of a trope.
Yes, it is a trope. Mm-hmm. It is the zombie.
Anyone? Is the crime priest? Doesn't matter. Shut up, Hannah.
Oh, I love you.
The zombie dies, breaks up with you.
Dies?
He's dead to you.
He does die.
Well, he could die. It could be that he's
haunting
you.
Fake his own death.
And then he comes back to life.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a you up text that he comes back to life with.
You know.
Maybe it's a, how's your mum? Maybe it's a,
I had a dream about
I miss you.
Oh.
It's a classic.
They were dreaming about you.
Mm.
It's your birthday. We broke up 2 years ago, but I'm going to make you a happy birthday video.
And
spell happy birthday wrong. But like, that's like non-specific
happy
example.
Birthday wrong.
Oh, you can. You definitely can.
You can.
How was it spelled?
KP.
Poor song.
What a plonker.
Anyway, that's just obviously a random example. That's like not specific.
Not specific at all.
No. No real life Blanca. That was just a made up story.
No, that was definitely a fake.
Speaking of other made up stories.
Yes. Good segue.
The example for this is, again, don't know if you've heard of him, Mr. Edward Cullen.
Oh! You are getting the best.
I know.
I've franchises here.
Our children? No.
I mean, I'm down if you are.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Imagine.
I was obsessed with Edward Cullen. Like,
I was really obsessed with him.
I had pictures of him on my wall. I would snog him. I used to listen to Robert Pattinson's music. Anyone else do that?
No.
He had his songs up on YouTube. And I remember I used to lie in the bath and listen to Edward Cullen.
You know what, weirdly? I remember lying in the bath reading Twilight and my heart hurting.
I couldn't put it down. I used to read it till like 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. I just could not put that book down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, it was visceral. It was so intense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a vampire, but he acts
He's like a specifically... he is a vampire. Dead man, literally dead. He leaves her in New Moon, is the book.
Bella Swan.
I just want to remind everyone with this one before people are like, he's incredible, he's a beautiful man.
No, he's not.
He's not. Stop.
He's flawed. He's not. Like him.
No, of course. We all love him.
We that fancy goes without him. Saying. He's 109. Mm-hmm. He breaks up with a 17-year-old girl the day after her birthday because his brother tries to eat her.
If I had a pound for every time I got dumped because their brother kept trying to eat me, wow.
Oh, I mean,
actually.
You can hear me.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I'm not a snack, I am the whole meal.
Yeah, you just said that, Hannah.
I said it. It was recorded.
Should we take a moment of silence? So, yeah, so he breaks up with her 2 weeks after she's nearly killed because of him. One day after her birthday, because his brother, again, tries to eat her. And then when he thinks she dies, he doesn't even bother to go and, like, maybe knock on the door. How you doing? He just calls. He calls up and is like,
where's Bella?
Yeah, and then Jacob picks up, right?
And then he's like, Charlie's not here. Charlie's at the funeral.
Yeah. Also, dude, Edward,
try a little bit fucking harder, please.
Go to the funeral.
Go to the fucking funeral before and then you top yourself. Kill yourself. Just like, that's worse than breaking up with someone over text. Just, don't pick up the phone when your girlfriend, who apparently you're in love with and that's why you've left her because you just love her so much, dies.
Yeah, if you're gonna
because you left her.
Love her, set her free, actually set her free. Actually, like, she's also 17, you're 109, like, you have enough maturity that, you know, for your ages.
But you know what? I think Edward Cullen has a warped sense of time. Like, I think for him, like, 6 months is actually, like, 6 minutes in his little strange vampire brain, because he's been on planet Earth for so long that, okay, I'm just making excuses.
I think you are being a facilitator for fuckboyery.
This is the teenage in me.
But this cannot let go of Edward.
Snogs you shared with his poster. It's the little kisses.
That sopping wet poster.
Oh, God. Imagine it, like, the paint is like worn off by his mouth.
No, but then she actually has to go and save him from suicide. But then in the film, there's also this bit where she's like, you can leave me now, I'll be okay. And he's like, oh no, I'm not leaving. Oh,
never, ever.
Wait, you're going to be okay?
No,
I have to stay and ruin your life.
Exactly. Obviously.
And he basically just honey trapped her over to the Volturi, who now are like, they're like mad, psychotic murderers, and they want Bella Swan to be turned into a vampire.
They do. And he's just like, I just loved you so much.
But it's I suppose the whole reason why we're bringing him to the table is because he is a zombie, and his action was that he just came back when she was nearly over him.
Well, and she would have got him.
Re-dragged.
Thanks for the regroup, Hannah. We really needed that.
Because we were going to be going on.
Because it's such a problematic fuckboy because it's so romanticised.
Yeah.
Because they always come back in films and then it's beautiful and there's this, like, happily ever after. Edward Cullen, like, we want to make excuses for him. It's such a romanticised fuckboy and you think they're in love with you.
And also, he only contacts her right before that almost kiss with Jacob when they're in that truck.
But it's like spidey fuckboy senses are tingling.
Yes, he knew,
like,
she was moving on.
Yeah. You can smell that wolf all over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think in a week, she would have been boning Jacob.
Oh, for sure. Wolf. Also, would you rather hug a warm person?
Or a freezing dead person?
Or a freezing dead person?
Would you rather go and date a real life boy or snog a poster of a fake vampire? I don't know where to go. What would you prefer? Like,
I went to an all girls school from the age of 4 to 18. Okay.
What were you expecting? Yeah, this is true.
Wow, 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 wow.
Oh, wow. What have we got for us?
Fuck me, guys. Okay, we've got the tortured artist.
Oh,
you know my. You're dating a tortured artist if there's a lot of emotional anguish, self-destruction, and a sickening amount of poetry.
Oh, I do like a poet.
Lord Byron. Ah! Oh, Lord Byron is our tortured artist, okay? Lots of alcohol, came from nobility, wrote very sexual poetry, once took a bear to school. Did you know that?
Took a bear to school?
He took a bear to school, yeah.
What, like a real-life bear?
A real-life bear, yeah, because...
Not like a gay man.
Like
a gay man, like a big butch bear.
Maybe because he was also bisexual.
Yeah, and I rate it.
Yeah.
To school.
And he had loads and loads of affairs. So his most famous one was his wild love affair with a woman called Lady Caroline Lamb, who Ooh. Labelled him mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
Oh, I love that! Mm-hmm.
So they were actually each other's intellectual match, and they both fell really hard for each other. And she even gave up her status as the life of the party to sit with him on the sidelines at society balls because he had a club foot. Which meant he couldn't dance.
Oh
which
gosh.
Kind of ties into that tortured artist thing, right? Because, like, he's limping here and thither.
He's always watching, he's never participating.
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
Is there a film about this? Because if not, someone needs to make it.
Yeah, I think maybe we should start up a production company,
mm-hmm.
greenlight this baby.
Yeah, right, yeah, we'll put a pin in that. Lovely.
Yeah, pin in that. I'll play the bear. So Caroline Lamb was married at the time, but they became inseparable, writing poetry to each other. And then she was so heartbroken when he ended the affair like a true fuckboy. She even snuck into his house dressed as a page boy.
Oh my god, I rate it.
After she was told to leave, she stabbed herself.
Oh.
Yep. She fucking stabbed herself.
Oh my gosh.
In Byron's house because she was told to leave.
That's really losing it, isn't
One
it?
One could that's argue that that's his fault because he lapped her up.
Yeah.
He was so the thing with tortured artists, right, is that they're so capable of love. They're actually really capable of that deep, deep love. But it's like you're in a hot tub because it's just too hot, too deep after a while.
You need to
get out. So she then sent Byron a snippet of her bloody pubic hair.
Oh my.
No, as in actually it was bloody.
Wait, why?
Yeah, because in a letter signed...
Because she stabbed herself or because she was on her meds?
She said because she snipped too close to her skin.
No. Actually, stop.
Sorry,
stop
what's her name?
Lady Caroline Lamb.
Do you know what's so funny? All of the listeners just clenched at once when you said
we
that.
We clenched with
we
you.
We all clenched
I clenched.
Together.
Kegels.
I'm still clenching.
Kegels.
Byron, keep the Kegels going.
Keep the Kegels going in 2021.
What a legacy.
God. Oh, ow. I know. Ooh, and she signed.
Too close.
Yeah, she signed that letter from your wild antelope.
So that is random.
But very random.
Now just a
but
wild
like
antelope, not even his.
Yeah.
She also wielded a knife at Byron at another society
ball. I do actually respect that.
Oh, in public. I love
in
it.
In public.
This
after,
film.
Guys, after he told her he'd been admiring her dexterity.
Her dexterity?
As in her ass.
Oh. I thought she was flexible.
And then.
Oh.
What did you think of dexterity?
Oh, no, not her derriere. No, her dexterity. So
he was like, what a fuck boy, he was admiring her ass.
No.
Oh, as in her nimbleness on the dance floor.
Oh, I love that.
Is that not a compliment?
What?
Is that not a lovely little compliment?
I think he was taunting her.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're so dexterous on the dance floor. I don't know.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sad little that was poet.
Right? Maybe that was an offensive thing to say back then. So then he egged her on to use the knife, taunting her, saying she wouldn't use it. And lo and behold, she fucking cut herself again.
Oh, no.
Puns.
Lady Lamb.
I know. She needs to get away from the knives.
Oh, pick up.
They're not your forte. Not as nimble as her.
But this is the problem with these tortured artists. They take your mental health problems, they exacerbate them, and then they spit them out.
And also, they really, like, glorify them. I feel like they're like, oh, you're so not doing well. I'm going to write a poem about that.
Yeah. Stay sick so you can be my muse.
Oh, what's that called? It's like,
Munchausen's by proxy.
Munchausen's by proxy. Yeah. Oh. Of course she knows it. Good one.
Yeah.
Some high fives.
Okay. So after Lady Caroline Lamb, he gets married, and then he leaves the marriage after a month after his daughter is born. Okay.
Oh no.
Yeah, a month after his daughter's born.
Do better.
His daughter is the Ada Lovelace, who I... Yes. Yes.
Oh, no way.
She's regarded as one of the first computer programmers in the world, and her method has been called the world's first computer program.
Wow.
Way to go, Ada.
Yeah, let's take this out of daddy issues, shall we?
Daddy issues. And look how she fucking thrived.
She broke the cycle. Good things can come from fuckboys.
Yes.
There's no denying that. The reason why he left his marriage in the first place... was because he was in love and was rumoured to be having an affair with his half-sister.
Oh!
Augusta.
Oh my god, he throws incest in there as well.
Yeah, he goes so far as to want to fuck his own sister.
I feel like when you've fucked everyone and there's only people you're related to left, it's time to retire from the game.
No, when you fuck everyone, you go to Venice.
Oh my gosh,
happens in Venice?
I do actually know what happened.
Well, he has loads of affairs in Venice, right?
My allergies are just coming out every time.
You're allergic to fuckboys?
I think I'm allergic to fuckboys. Yeah.
Do you want a Puritan?
Purify me.
So, obviously a woman throws herself into the Venetian canal after he leaves her.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Okay, so here's a story for you.
Mm-hmm.
Shelley and Keats... famous writers.
Yes.
Keats,
right. Shelley and Keats. In my head, you said Shailene Keats. I thought, oh, I don't know who that is.
I don't know that one.
Shelley and Keats.
Let's get up having, in my poetry.
Having not heard from him for some time, as in Byron, became concerned for Byron's safety, and it was determined that Shelley would go looking for him. Keats received a letter some time later that Shelley had found him in Venice, where he'd been having so much sex that he'd nearly died from malnourishment and dehydration.
The fuckboy's revenge.
Oh, I mean, you got to give it to him.
Yeah, that is high commitment. Level commitment to the cause, isn't it?
Yeah, that is committed.
He's not well.
What the hell?
No, he's not
the
man's okay.
Not well. He's not doing good.
He's not well.
Do you know what's...
He was abused as a child.
But this is the man
that's
that, like...
the thing, like, how far can we stretch that childhood trauma? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Plenty of people have had terrible
childhoods.
No,
it explains it, but it doesn't justify it.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Also, that's arguably, he has been the model of, like... half of the romance novels written since as the Byronic hero.
The Byronic hero.
Arguably Edward Cullen, based on Heathcliff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking based on him.
Yeah, exactly.
Wild.
I know.
Yeah. You don't want to get caught up in that because you could really end up in a bad way if you date a tortured artist.
You'll end up in a canal. You'll have multiple stab wounds.
Oh, dear God.
You probably from yourself will be malnourished.
You'll have a little bit of pubes missing.
Yeah. Lots of little...
half your clit.
Oh,
giggles.
Giggles.
No. So Keats' entire response amounted to essentially, you should probably have left him there.
Oh, we love Keats.
This is why we love Keats. To a nightingale. My heart aches. In a drowsy nose pains my senses. I have long been drunk.
Poetry corner.
Okay, let's stop now. Okay. Byron.
Bad
bloke.
Bad bloke.
Byron, bad bloke.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Byron.
So next up, we have the nice guy. And this don't be mistaken, this is not the same as the pick me, which is like, nice guys finish last, kind of very harmless. A nice guy is actually really, really toxic. Like, we're now delving into super problematic, and maybe you can't even tell that they're problematic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because a nice guy is like so nice. He's actually too nice.
He's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
He is. Like, you will be like, do you want to go for a coffee? And you won't, you know, he won't act like you're marching him down the aisle just to go for a cappuccino. He's probably going to send you, like, woke articles about...
Mm-hmm. He's definitely a feminist.
He's definitely a feminist. And he knows about intersectional feminism.
And he's like...
No one can see that we're doing this.
Oh, yeah, we're doing so many quotation marks. This whole episode has just been in quotation marks.
Yeah. There are no facts here.
But he's like... not to be seen. He's definitely teaching you about feminism as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He will tell you about a woman's experience. Like, he will make sure that you know that he knows what it's like to be a woman.
He will tell you 100 times that he's read The Female Eunuch.
Oh yeah, 100%. And also, like, he's never
as well. Yeah,
he's never he's never cheated on anyone, like, ever. No. Because, and also, like, you know that because he's never asked about your relationship history. But, like, you know
that he's definitely always been loyal. He's like a very loyal guy. But then you are somehow dumped and you feel super disrespected and you have no idea why. You feel like gaslit and you just don't know the details of the injustice of what has happened.
I'm triggered.
Yeah, we've been there. We've been there. So for this one, I've got actually two people, but they are played by the same person.
Played by Penn Badgley. First up, we have the character he initially played, which is Dan Humphries from Gossip Girl. And then we have how he graduated to Joe Goldberg from You.
And they are...
Oh, yeah. My God.
They are the same character, essentially. One is just a murderer, and the other one...
one is just a Gossip Girl.
Well, the other one is Gossip Girl, but only from season 7, because they definitely did not come up with that storyline until the last moment.
And they are definitely retconning it in the new series that's coming out. 100%. That's the only reason.
Yes,
they're like, we need to do this right.
Yes, exactly. So, with Dan... It's just so grim because he's always having this like moral conundrum and being like, I'm a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, like Chuck and Nate. But all the whole time he is like humiliating and spreading shit about not only his friends, but also his family members. Like it is.
Is it because he's Gossip Girl?
Also like his girlfriend is also his sister. So.
Wait, well, what? Stepsister.
Oh, yes. You mean Dawn from Buffy?
Wait, what? No.
Wait, what?
The actress.
Serena.
Because
his parents get married. Wait, what?
Wait, what's Dawn?
I really need to rewatch Gossip Girl.
Yeah, you do. Also, I love Gossip Girl. I've watched it such an ungodly number of times. I really do love it. But the worst thing is, at the end, when it all comes out that he's Gossip Girl, Serena, who just drank the Kool-Aid, like, so badly, she's like, it was all one big love letter. To me. And it's like, nah, mate, in season 6, he fucks your best friend. Or like season 5, he fucks your best friend. Like, this is not one big love letter. You're crazy. No, she's not. She's just, you know, the patriarchy.
But also, I rate that. That's very Mr. Narcissist of her. To just be like, it's all about me.
Yeah. But the thing is, when she does it, it's cool. Yeah. When men do it, it's not okay.
Yeah, it sucks.
So then obviously, like, he plays this nice guy where he justifies doing all of this terrible behaviour because he's in love with Serena. But then we take it to the next level in You, and he plays Joe, who literally murders people and justifies it as being, like, the nicest guy of all time.
So creepy.
Yeah, so creepy.
That bit, I'll never forget that bit where she, for some reason, she's masturbating. I said it right.
Oh, normally Hanako says masturbating. like a masturbating.
Don't say it like a Cornish farmer. No.
Yeah, you do.
I say masturbating normally.
No.
But I've been told that that's wrong, so I'll say it normally from now on. The bit where she's masturbating with the curtains up in her front room in broad daylight on a very busy street in New York, she's like humping a pillow or something, and he's just watching her like from outside, creep. Like a little creep.
Mind you, I feel like that's not the weirdest thing he does. If I saw someone having a wank, I might not be able to look away. No, I would, obviously, but I think there would be a moment where I'd be like, what's he? What are they? Oh my God, they're masturbating. But like the murdering is a bit more.
Yeah, that glass box is next level.
Yeah, it really is. God.
We have to post some of the tweets that he does.
Oh yeah, he does. Oh, he's so like, funny. Why do you people fancy?
This one. Said this already, but Penn Badgley is breaking my heart once again as Joe. What is it about him? The response, A. He is a murderer.
So good.
We're going to post some of those on Instagram so that you guys can see them.
And the thing is, like, he says stuff like, he has so many things that he says that are bad, but like, he'll be like, sometimes we do bad things in the name of love. It doesn't mean it's right, but it means that love is more important. And that's sort of the vibe.
But like murdering.
Like murdering people, or being like, I once had a nice guy dump me for their ex, and he was like, by the end, I was like, I'm just so thrilled that, like, love wins. Like, you guys are back together and love wins. And then I walked away and I was like, wait, what happened? I just got dumped. Now he's back with his ex. And I don't feel... that's a very nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, everything's glazed over with sugar.
Yeah, it's like they've broken up with you and then you're their therapist for an hour on the phone with them. And then you finish and you're like, hold on, I'm annoyed.
And the thing is as well, they'll be like, you're such a cool girl for understanding. You're such a legend. So and you're like, great. Yeah, I'm a legend.
I am so depressed, but I am a legend. So it's just,
I'm a depressed legend.
I am one depressed legend.
A very sad legend.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, Joe, is he scary? Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Hell yeah.
Would I still sleep with
110%.
Him?
110%.
100p. Probably.
100p.
I would sleep with him.
Yeah.
I do find him a little bit sexy.
Next, we have number 4. The spiritual fuck boy. Oh my god. They've got an aura. Mm-hmm. They've got a vibe. They've probably got a following. Mm-hmm. They're probably 20 years older than you.
Yeah.
They've probably got dirty hair. Mm-hmm. They probably smell a bit weird. Mm-hmm. But the things they say make you feel things.
They wear lots of white linen.
They wrap you up in a little ball of cotton wool and make you feel like the most important person in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
They look after you, they nurture you, they prey on the vulnerable, they prey on the weak. And who better for our spiritual fuckboy than Mr. Charles Manson?
Mm.
Oh, God.
I mean, obviously, this is as well expands so much. Like, a spiritual fuckboy can be someone who's just like, you should come practice yoga with me and I will help you feel really enlightened and have better
health. I give yoni massages.
Yes.
I'll fix your intimacy issues by fingering you with my long fingernails.
Yeah. Yes. Like, it really spans in terms
which
of how bad this
is. Which is why he's only a number 4. Charles Manson is obviously
a
horrendous human being.
Yeah, one of the worst.
He's just the worst of these spiritual fuck boys. They just want to finger you and all your trauma away.
Yeah. Well, you know, they can just think a gong bath will solve, like, the fact that you have a biological, like, imbalance of your fucking...
Yes, exactly.
Wait. A gong bath doesn't do that?
You know, do I get to come off my meds because I had a gong bath? Fuck. No, don't come off your meds.
This is not advice.
No. This is not advice.
So I don't know if you know him, but Charles Manson was potentially one of the most famous American cult leaders. He was put in prison, basically, for the Tate LaBianca
mm-hmm.
murders. And the film Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is kind of based loosely on that group. Manson just took an absolute fuck ton of LSD.
Uh-oh.
He was
popping LSD like
Uh-oh.
Nobody's business. Uh-oh. People in his cult would drink... Well, you can't drink Belladonna. Maybe they did drink Belladonna. Basically, Belladonna, deadly nightshade.
Yeah.
He took Belladonna. Literally a fucking poison.
It was a poison?
Yeah, because they were out of LSD.
And it was a beautiful white flower.
It is. It should be a wonderful thing to look at.
Don't drink it. What does Belladonna do to you if you take it?
Fuck you up. Just give you serious mental health problems.
But do you hallucinate?
Oh, like wild.
Okay.
So it's like you're being poisoned.
Right.
So it's like if you were dying. Yeah, it's like if you were dying. You're basically dying and your mental health is absolutely fucked. Your brain, utterly fucked. So I don't know if Charles Manson took it, but definitely some of the community members did. So, yeah, he had this massive cult in the 60s. He used to stay on these ranches. And the thing is, obviously, I'm more generous to people who join cults than others would be.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, you may say it's people's fault. But they prey on people and they sell you actually quite a vibey dream. Like, initially it was just 3 people, like, going about in the 60s, practicing spirituality, practicing meditation. And some of his cult members in the end became so devoted for him, they literally committed murder. And one of them, Squeaky, who's played by... Dakota Fanning in the film.
She
was one of the first people in his cults. And this is a little bit of her book. This is the first time she ever met Charles Manson. This is him. So your father kicked you out, he said with certainty. And once again, my mind went with the wind. But before I could ask how I knew, I began to tell him about a life I imagined living and the so-called reality in which I felt trapped. He said, the way out of that room is not through the door. Don't want out, he said. And you're free. The want ties you up. Be where you are. You've got to start someplace. I mean, what the fuck does that even mean?
But the thing is, like, with these spiritual fuckboys, they're so profound and so poetic.
It's a bit philosophical. And they can be. He's chosen a girl 10 years younger than him, sitting on the side of the road, who's clearly just been kicked out of home.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. It doesn't take a fucking genius to see a girl sitting on the side of the road after dark with a suitcase in the 60s and go up to them like 50-50, they've been kicked out.
They ran away.
Another one. This is another woman, what she says. A woman was seated on each side of him and the rest of the girls in the house were ringed around him on the floor. Only two other men were in the room. A smoky haze deepened the tan aura of a wood-panelled room. The smell of marijuana was heavy. Of course it was, because you're always fucked when you meet them. A slight smile flickered on and off the skinny little man's clean-shaven face.
Oh no.
This is what he sang. The shadow of your smile when you are gone, he sang softly, seductively, will colour all my dreams and light the dawn. His voice was middle range and expressive. He played the guitar magnificently.
We've all seen a guy sitting around a campfire.
Oh, he's playing Wonderwall.
Playing a guitar.
He's playing Wonderwall.
He's playing Wonderwall.
Yeah.
The fact that these people can play Wonderwall and still get laid is just shocking. Like, beyond me.
I mean, do they?
That's why they're on this list.
But this is from one of the women who actually committed a murder because he basically told her to. I stood for a moment longer at the doorway, fascinated by the scene before me. The women's faces were rapturous, uplifted towards the little man on the couch. Obviously, most of them were stoned.
They
take drugs, they give you drugs, they get you hooked. You're hooked on this, like, energy and this feeling.
Well, they prey on people who've lost their family as well, right?
Yeah.
Cult leaders.
He just preyed on everybody.
And obviously, this isn't like... When we're talking about, like, archetypes of fuckboys, most of the spiritual fuckboys you'll come across will not be...
Murderous. I really hope not.
Like, they will prey on your trauma.
Oh, yeah.
That they will do. They will probably get you into altered states of consciousness and start a relationship based on that. Whether it's, like, a yogic state of consciousness or... Or just loads of drugs, like,
there's
gonna be something.
But it's that pedestal that's so dangerous, right?
Yeah, because
it's
almost, I will fix you.
Yeah, and it's almost like they're not human. It's like they are close to God. Like with Rasputin, for example.
He's such a spiritual fuckboy.
He was just given permission.
But the laws of their spirituality as well are totally wrapped up in...
Ego.
What helps them.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they are genuinely good, upstanding, moral, spiritual people.
No, it's like they're hiding behind spirituality.
Yeah, totally.
Charles Manson started a cult, like, days after he left prison.
Generally one to look out for. Lots of drugs.
If they're trying to, like, just tell you how to be a better person while also trying to fuck you.
If they're wearing flip-flops.
Yeah, giving you all the answers.
Offering you a massage on the first date, arguably... No, that's actually quite nice.
I take it that.
It's a long time.
I like that. I can't remember how I'm dating
most. Offering you a yoni massage.
A yoni massage.
Oh, yeah. Get away. If you want a clit stroke on the first date, get out.
Absolutely not.
I mean
you can stroke my clit, but just not... I don't want to do it for 10 minutes.
Don't do it to heal my trauma.
While you're fully clothed.
Definitely not.
No.
Okay, the next one is... The soft boy. My OG fuckboy, for sure.
I think all our OG fuckboys.
My first boyfriend was an emo, and I feel like they're the OG fuckboy of the 21st
soft
century.
Soft boy, sad boy.
Very similar vibe. So the guy that we've got for soft boy is obviously Timothée Chalamet, because Timothée Chalamet and soft boy are basically interchangeable words.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I wrote a little definition for a soft boy because the one in Urban Dictionary just wasn't really up to scratch. So a soft boy will ask you to dress up as Lolita because he wants to get inside the head of his literary hero Nabokov, and definitely not your vagina.
That is so true.
A soft boy will DM you saying he's in a dark place and low-key suicidal, and that can he pretty please have a tit pick so he can fall asleep and lucid dream of you?
Do you know what? Nothing will give you the will to live like a tit pick.
Just the nipple.
just at least the nipple. The dream will preferably be in pastel colours and feature the soundtrack of My Little Pony.
Oh.
Little cutie pie.
Oh, he's so cute.
Little soft boy.
So... Chalamet in Lady Bird is the ultimate soft boy.
When he says good girl.
No, don't, because I can't.
He does. Oh my god.
The thing is, it's actually awful because I really, like, soft boys are bad, but.
Well, it's fine if, well, we'll get to that, right?
Yeah.
Because they can be harmless and they can be very harmful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So specifically with Chalamet in Lady Bird. The first time he meets Lady Bird, I believe, is outside a cafe. He's obviously smoking a rolly. He's reading that book that Belle was reading in her first scene with the Beast. Like, it's a fucking hardback, leather-bound beauty from that glass cabinet in Oxfam. She goes up to Chalamet and is like, oh my god, I love your band. They're amazing. L'enfant's new. And he's immediately like, L'enfant's new. Immediately corrects her.
Yeah.
Right? A soft boy. Like, you go for dinner with them in an Italian restaurant, and they're like, can I have a bottle of sparkling water and the linguine alla bolognese? It's like, you don't need to say that in an Italian accent. Like, we get you want the bolognese.
Yeah, you just want the bolognese. Spag bol, spaghetti bolognese.
Spag bol, just say you want the bolognese, bruv.
Yeah, bruv.
Bruv, come on. Unless you're Italian, then please, by all means.
Oh, please.
She puts out her hand to shake his hand, and he goes, that's weird, you shake hands. Classic soft boy move to make the most normal thing completely abnormal, and the most abnormal thing totally normal.
Yeah, and also being like, oh, I have this really, like, thing you will have never heard of, but it's really cool because you've never heard of it.
They're called the Smiths.
Yeah, they're called the Smiths. Something really bait.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So another scene in Lady Bird. He says his dad has cancer and then seconds later asks for Lady Bird's number. As if anyone is going to say no to giving them your number after you've told them your dad has cancer.
Yeah.
It's so manipulative.
So manipulative. Yeah. But so low-key as well. Like, you really would be so, like, reeling off the cancer knowledge that you wouldn't even
think about it.
And then they hit you with the give me your number, and then you suddenly they have your number.
It's like I'm suicidal, tip-hick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then he calls her a good girl.
Because she doesn't have a phone,
She doesn't have a mobile phone. Yeah, he does. Because he believes the government are spying on everyone. Yes,
Timothy, if you're listening to this, I actually got rid of my phone recently. If you want to carry a pigeon me, you know, a little good girl, I will gladly accept.
Carry a pigeon.
Timothy, I will also just send you a tip pic.
Yeah, Timothy, also, I love you.
Okay, this is something that this little speech, right here, it gets him laid. I only smoke hand-rolled cigarettes, never industrial-produced ones, never cloves. Also, I'm trying as much not to participate in our economy. I don't like money. I'm trying to live by bartering alone.
Oh.
That speech gets him laid.
That is so classic, right? Yeah.
So they're kissing. Saoirse Ronan's like, she's not Irish. She's like, I have never had sex before. And he's like, no, neither have I. Post-coital intermission, he admits that wasn't his first time.
Yeah.
And that he actually lost it to Cassie Duval.
Oh, Cassie.
What the fuck?
Who loses their virginity on top?
Did he lose it on top?
No, that's what she says afterwards.
She's like, oh, who loses it on top?
I did.
How fucked up is that, though?
Yeah,
lying that it's your first time and then having sex and then being like, oh yeah, oops.
Also, not my first time. Agree to have sex with someone who
that's not,
not a virgin.
Not what I signed up for.
No, not what I signed up for.
Again, super manipulative in disguise of being very open and vulnerable.
In disguise.
And also, this guy will tell you that he likes you broken, that your mental health problems are sexy, and that he prefers his woman a little crazy.
Oh, that's so...
Oh,
which
my
means
God.
He just wants to drag you down to his own level so that he can, like, use you as his broken little plaything.
And it is fun to roll around in the gutter sometimes, but we do deserve better.
We deserve better.
We do, and don't have someone prey on your mental health problems.
No. Thank you.
Just quick how to spot a soft boy. He was listening to Bon Iver when Bon Iver was Justin de Yarmond Edison Verne.
Yes.
His love language is sending you a playlist. He still has an iPod shuffle.
Yeah, he does still have an iPod shuffle.
Oh my god, he does.
He still has an iPod shuffle. He tends to have lots of hair. He has a body of an elongated cherub.
That's so funny. Oh my god.
Oh my god, this
he's
is
so ironic
going on
he's
Instagram.
Mainstream. He's so ironic he's mainstream.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And a soft boy will tell you that he listens to Philip Glass and Tame Impala on limited vinyl at the same time.
Oh yes, and probably is masturbating. Your help.
No, he doesn't masturbate.
Oh no, that's true. He probably just like lucid dreams.
Yeah.
And then wet dreams. Lucid wet dreaming is his way of having a blank.
Yeah. So, like, on the surface, if you spot him, quite fun for a ramble in the haystack. But in the long term, if they're going to drag you down to having, you know, glorifying your mental health problems.
Yes.
Big shout out to @beamyupsoftboy on Instagram as well. If you want to see some really good softboy content, that is fantastic. Yeah. Oh, so funny.
Like 100% a soft boy would tell you they don't watch porn anymore and then ask you to send a pic.
Oh yeah.
I don't watch porn anymore because it's really, really problematic, but like you should probably send me a picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To get me through.
Of your left nipple.
Yeah, of your left one specifically, because the right...
Not doing it for me.
It's not doing it for me, and they would say that.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah, they'd probably ask for a photo of your heart, but make sure that
the nipple's over it.
Yeah, exactly. Number two is quite a new phenomenon, actually, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it's not completely, but it's a lot more regular an occurrence now, thanks to technology. But we have ghost. We have a ghost. Ooh. Ghosting is the thing that they do. And creeps. This is like a fuckboy staple. This is like the bread and butter of fuckboyery, isn't it? Like, it's quite an amazing thing because it plays on the insecurity that you can't even get dumped or rejected properly. Mm-hmm. You'll be dating them and then they just stop replying. It's as though they're dead. It's like they have just completely disappeared. And then you'll find yourself like begging to get dumped just for some closure. Yes. I mean, no one signed up for that.
And the difference between ghosting and zombie is that the ghost never returns.
Yes. Yeah.
He never returns to come back and haunt you, but his absence will constantly haunt you for the rest of your life.
Definitely. And it's embarrassing as well because, like, it's completely, you know, unexpected. You've told all your friends about them.
Yeah.
And then you've, like, double texted, triple texted them, which is, like, a sacred rule we normally do not break, but then we do. We do not break, but then we are.
Because... Yeah, but isn't it so weird that that's a rule that, like, you shouldn't double text? It's like, why don't you make the rule that you don't ghost?
Oh, my God, I double text.
And then no one would double text.
Also, if you're... Dating advice corner. If you get dumped because you're too keen, because you double text, like, would you just live your life being fiery? Imagine having two kids with a guy who can't double text.
Plonker.
Absolute plonker. No, thank you. So, plonker. The ultimate ghost we've chosen is James Bond.
Don't sue us.
Total fuck boy. And the prize for like the worst aged franchise of all time.
Yes.
I mean, I gotta admit, I do love a James Bond film.
Yes.
Super problematic. Like, we watched Skyfall the other night, right? Yeah. And we couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way it's aged so badly.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give you some stats here. Well, actually, I'm just going to give you one stat. Stat singular. There have been 7 Bonds, and there have been over 75 Bond girls. So given that this is like a movie franchise about saving the world, he's so busy trying to get laid. Like, dude, the world is ending. Stop trying to stick your dick in every single thing.
But also, that just tells us that those women are so disposable because they've gone through 75 of them, whereas there are only 7 Bonds.
That's like, nearly 11 each.
Why can't we have a Bond woman for the whole series, a true love in that? That would be way more interesting.
Well, they need to kill them to give Bond motivation.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing. So either he will bang them, and then he just leaves. He literally ghosts. Those women, their storylines, their fictional storylines exist of them probably being like, whatever happened to that dude? He drank a lot of martinis and then never called me back. Like, he's just ghosted them. But if they do get brought back for further scenes, they always die. So it's literally like, what would you prefer? To be humped and dumped or shagged and then slaughtered? It's really quite like... Like, it's what's the lesser of two evils here? And it's so bad because he's got like a, you know, 007. Like, everyone sees him as this like epitome of masculinity. Yeah. But when he's treating women so badly, it becomes cool to treat women so indisposably.
Yeah, like, and what does that teach men?
Yeah. Boys. It's not what we need to see. And the reason why ghosting is actually so high up is because it really, like...
Fucks you.
It really fucks you. And there is no closure and it can go on forever. And obviously, you know, there are loads of people taking advantage of people's mental health. But here, it is a one, like, foul swoop act that just decimates, you know... all of your self-esteem. It's such bad behaviour.
And it's that thing where you're constantly waiting. You're going, what if today's the day where they get back in touch with me? It's just awful.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You can't continue your life. Like, so, you can't move on.
Yeah, and Bond, you have a license to kill. You do not have a license to fake die and ghost all these women. It's not.
Yes.
That is not what your license says.
No.
Read the small print.
Yes, read the small print, because it's actually really, really specific. To kill.
To kill.
Girls, not... I am shaken and I am stirred.
Oh my gosh. That was great.
Quite frankly, you should only ever be stirred. Do not fucking shake me.
So we have, obviously, our worst fuckboy of all time. But before then,
yeah,
we have to give a shout-out to what is iconic, which is when fuck girls start to play. Oh, now, we love a fuck girl.
We're going to do several episodes on fuck girls.
Oh, yes.
But we just wanted to give a big old shout-out to Villanelle, who is the ultimate fuck girl of the 21st
century. Killing
Eve. Truly.
Yeah.
She is divine.
In every way.
We're going to give you Villanelle a whole episode, though, so just you wait.
Just you sit wait. Tight.
But we couldn't go without saying that women are, you know... They're not always perfect.
Oh, I've been a fuck girl.
Oh, have
maybe
you?
Maybe I still am.
Humble
a fuck
brag.
Girl. Oh, that's not a humble brag. That was just a full on brag.
Nothing humble about it.
You're being humble about it, baby.
But yeah, iconic when girls do it, not okay when guys do it. Sorry. The patriarchy has to be good for something.
It's fucking true.
Exactly.
A fuck girl has boundaries.
Yeah.
A fuck boy is a toad.
Well, for now. I would argue she's
not a boundary in sight.
Killing willy-nilly, but we'll let her off. She looks divine in those clothes.
Murderer.
Yeah. Purely for that pink dress.
That Molly Goddard dress.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we were.
Oh, pee-pee.
Yes.
Before we get to our ultimate fuck boy of all time.
Yeah.
We've got to have some dishonourable mentions.
Dishonourable.
So, look, we've got Chuck Bass, Gossip Girl.
Oh.
Disgusting. Terrible. Elon Musk. I know he said we weren't going to do real people, but...
The amount of satellites that he has put into space.
Get them out.
Get them out. They're trash.
Yes.
They're not doing anything, you idiot.
Can you get rid of it?
I keep thinking I'm looking at a star and then I realise it's Elon Musk's stupid satellite.
And for that alone,
he's a fuckboy. Then we've got, obviously, John Hamm's characters.
Always.
Anyone who's ever played, think Bridesmaids, think, what's his name?
Don Draper.
Don Draper. Honestly, anyone who's ever played.
Fit.
Then these ones kind of go together. Do you remember when No Strings Attached and Friends with Benefits both came out really close to each other, basically the same film? We've got Ashton Kutcher and we have Justin Timberlake,
which is problematic bloke city.
We
were free Britney.
Anyone want a free Britney? Anyway, we move on. We digress.
Anyone out there? We have Warner from Legally Blonde.
Oh,
such a zombie.
Yeah.
This one's slightly more rogue, but we couldn't not mention him. We've got George Wickham.
That's not rogue.
No, but as in like...
Oh, you mean like it's not like pop culture?
It's old school.
Yes,
he's old school. George Wickham.
Pride and Prejudice.
But it's a classic. It's such...
Fuckboy from
fuck
previous
boy
centuries
multiple
gone by.
Multiple times.
Also, arguably, Mr. Darcy is a fuckboy as well.
Yes.
Yes. We will do an episode
Why
on
is
that
it
on.
So fit when someone calls you tolerable?
Oh my God. Mr. Collins.
Call me tolerable.
In Pride and Prejudice is such a pick me.
But George Wickham's actually super, super fucked up because I didn't realise this. He not only ran away with Lydia, he also tried to convince a 15-year-old to elope and try and steal her inheritance.
Weirdo.
Creep.
Yeah, he's all about that inheritance.
Yeah,
isn't he?
Give me that.
Fuckboy.
Which, like, fair. I understand, money.
Mm-hmm.
But, problematic.
So, worst of all time, for our final fuckboy, he is the kind of guy to tell you that all of his exes were crazy. Guaranteed to send you an unsolicited dick painting. He is the you-upping, bread-crumbing, tortured artist and spiritual narcissist, top fuckboy of all time, Henry VIII.
What's green sleeves? I know he didn't write it.
Green sleeves?
You know how says that he grows
oh,
green sleeves?
Oh, Henry VIII did write songs. So this is part of him being like, he's got tortured artists in there.
Wow.
He was releasing EPs. telling everyone, hanging out his single.
Hanging out his Heather?
Yeah. H-Dot.
MC Heather.
MC Heather up in his house, in the palace.
He had fingers in so many pies.
Oh, so many.
Literally.
So I'm going to give you a good, quick
rundown
because we don't want to miss.
No.
So, first off, we have, he marries his dead brother's ex, well, ex purely because he's dead, Charlotte. But then, see, he really sets off my allergies. Honestly, he is the worst of the worst. So then, he sees some hot young ankle exposed about the court, and he's just...
I feel like Henry is trying to behead you right now from the grave. Like, honestly, I'm dying. Because
you keep clasping your neck.
That's because I'm
almost beheaded. Yeah. Awesome. He's trying to chop your head off.
Truly. But claiming that he's the number one fuckboy.
Oh, dare thou.
So, when he sees some hot young ankle about the court, he decides to do the very reasonable thing. He obviously locks Charlotte up.
Naturally.
Yeah, and it tries to invalidate their marriage because, I mean, yeah, it is technically incest, but the Pope says no, and so he just decides to go very spiritual fuckboy and change the laws of religion to divorce her. He literally plays God to get laid by another woman. So after that, and after literally getting into like wars and battles over this for his second wife, Anne, it's only 3 years before he accuses her of incest, which is really the pot calling the kettle black, and also accuses her of being a six-fingered witch.
Oh yeah, that is so ridiculous. Like, bruv, you are now the head of fucking state and church.
Yeah.
Like, just leave the finger out of it.
Yeah,
like,
don't embarrass her.
Like, don't embarrass her. Don't body shame.
Yeah, just stop it.
Also, what about your gout? Let's talk about your gout.
Well, let's come to that. So, naturally, he did all of that shaming, body shaming, witch shaming, etc. Because he found another young woman that he wanted to bang, Jane Seymour. So to avoid a double divorce, which I would argue is quite cool, actually. I think the more divorces you have, the cooler you are. He just decides to chop Anne's head off.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the actual fuck?
So Jane gives Henry a son, which he's like thrilled about, but it does kill her in the process, which is just like classic toxic male behaviour.
Yes, accidental killing.
Yeah, like just murdering your mum. Oh, it's a classic soft boy.
A baby fuck boy.
But he only mourns for 18 months, and then he forces 25-year-old Anne of Cleves to come over from Germany, and yeah, that is the second Anne that he's marrying, only to say that she is too ugly for him to possibly consummate the marriage.
Wow.
So this man, twice the age of Anne 2.0, has a gammy leg covered in pus-filled boils and has gout. Ooh. And he said that she isn't fit enough for him.
Oh, Kegels.
So deciding that he needs a hotter and then obviously younger wife because he's 50, he needs a 17-year-old Catherine. Yep, that's the second Catherine. That he's having, because apparently Judith just like couldn't be bothered to come up with other names for women at the time. And Catherine 2.0.
Your name's Catherine.
Yeah.
It is.
Actually, I think this is the one that's spelt like mine.
Catherine.
Yes. Catherine. So Catherine was then hired, hired her ex to work for her.
Oh.
And Henry.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Henry got super pissed about it. Beheaded her.
What? You mean Henry was a jealous husband?
So weird.
That's so out of character.
So out of character. And also, she may have shagged like a few other members of the court, but she was 17, he was 50, and it was hot wench summer. So really, what was Henry expecting?
And he had a gammy leg.
He had a gammy leg, truly. So Kathy 2.0, dead, and Henry, being very unimaginative, just decides to marry a third woman called Catherine.
Wow.
So he's officially, at this point, had more wives called Catherine than he's given orgasms to women, which is a little known fact, but fairly assumed fact. So Kathy 3.0 was actually in love with Henry's brother-in-law.
Oh my god.
Literally no respect for bro code, biological brother or otherwise. But luckily, Mr. Celia Gal is dead from syphilis, etc. shortly after. And then Catherine, the third one, ends up getting to marry her true love.
Who happens to be her third husband, which is pretty iconic.
She's quite iconic.
And she does loads of really cool things with her life. Like, she's the first queen to ever publish a book.
Oh my god, that's fucking
behave.
Cool.
Behave.
Yeah. And I just love the idea of their two wives that survived coming together and creating a podcast about the fuckboy that was Henry VIII. Like, I think if that was there for them,
and that's what we are.
Yeah.
And that's who we are. We're the incarnation of those women.
Yeah.
And that is what we're here to tell you.
Mic drop.
And you know what else? Got to give it to him. He did bear, you know, one of the most iconic queens of all time.
Yeah, she was fucking cool.
Yeah, so thank God in a way.
No wonder she didn't marry.
Yeah. But yeah, that is why he is truly...
Yeah, you can't beat that.
The biggest fuckboy of all time.
Him and Genghis Khan are just the worst.
Aren't we all related to Genghis Khan?
Like, something like that.
Yeah.
He's
See,
our dad.
Good stuff does come from fuckboys.
Yes, us.
Mainly.
Oh my god, guys.
Those are our top 10 fuckboys.
Guys, we did it.
Woo!
I feel dizzy. I feel slightly nauseous. I need to lie down.
We've expelled that from our system.
We have.
I need a wee.
And now we have the shorthand for all of the future franchises that we're going to...
Exactly. We've got a glossary that we can all go back to. And...
So you'll know what we're talking about when we mention...
A soft boy.
Or a spiritual fuck boy. Mr. Yes. Narcissist.
Exactly.
Now y'all know.
We all know. We're all on the same page.
So dust off your fairy wings and get down with your earth, wind and fire. Because for the next episode, we're bringing you the fuckboys of Fate the Winx Saga.
Until then, we want to hear from you.
Get in touch with us in the submission section at fboypodcast.com.
Instagram and Twitter at fboypodcast. And let us know anyone we missed from our honourable mentions.
Which franchise of fuckboy you'd like us to tackle.
And obviously, your beautiful listener stories. Name and shame those dreadful blokes. Or don't, maybe don't.
If you loved us, please rate and subscribe to the F-Boy podcast wherever you listen.
And if you hated us, we are at Piers Morgan on Twitter. Just let us know.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom.
I've been Hannah Coe-Footman.
I've been Catherine Orchard.
And I've been Hannah van der Vesthazen.
So watch out, Sky, Riven and Beatrix.
We're coming for you.